Find what's making South Asians laugh, cry or cringe on SBS Spice. Listen on the SBS audio app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of SBS Spice. I'm Suhaila Sharif. The sound of South Asia has evolved over centuries to encapsulate the instruments, artists and experiences that reflect the region's cultural mosaic. Today, that sound is a symphony of the classic and contemporary, the traditional and experimental, the familiar and foreign. Indian electronica duo Tech Panda, also known as Rupinder Nanda, and Kenzani Kedar Santwani are renowned for blending worlds of sound and sharing their appetite for creative innovation with audiences across the globe. Their viral track Dilbar is just the surface of their melodic storytelling, with their 2024 album Tijori and latest releases such as Ek Tara, examples of their consistent efforts to restore and revolutionize Indian music. Just before they hit the decks for their debut Australian tour, the DJs are chatting to me to open their safe of sounds. Thank you, Rupi and Kedar, for joining me on SBS Spice. This is your first time touring Australia. What pulled you to Australia and how do you hope your shows connect with audiences in Melbourne and Sydney?
Hey, thank you for hosting us. We guys are really excited to visit, do our first Australian tour.
Amazing.
It's just the start for our world tour that we wanted to plan. We would be really happy to showcase our music, a blend of Indian culture with the international audience and also Indians in Australia.
That's when we see our readings from Spotify and like YouTube and everywhere, we always see like Australia as a very strong listener and a good following. So I'm really happy to connect with the fans and play all of our classics from where we started off, like Koyo and Sauda, because I see a lot of streams coming from that side. So I'm pretty happy and excited that we can finally go ahead and, you know, do this. It's been a long time coming. Like we really like wanted to do this since a couple of years, and I'm happy that finally this year it's happening.
Well, welcome, guys. I've also been resonating with what you were saying in terms of like we're hearing more of appreciation for international music, specifically from South Asia, whether it's Indian music and like the sounds that come from that region. I would love to know from you guys, are there any Australian artists or DJs that have been on your radar?
Yeah, Rupi, I'm sure you have a lot.
The plan is a lot of Indian artists, a lot of Indian origin are in Australia, and they're making such sound and they can resonate with us. Also, they give us a big opportunity for playing all the events that they have the audience for. So it's a big help.
So I follow a couple of artists from Australia, but they don't necessarily make Indian electronic music. They make electronic music like Fisher, Chris Lake. They also have had an influence on the way we make music and how we, you know, combine two different worlds and make it into one. When it comes to artists that are making Indian electronica music from Australia, I'm not sure like who makes like, I don't know, me and Rupi personally, we don't know many artists. Maybe you can help us, and maybe you can say that this person is from Australia, so we can be like, yeah, okay, we like, because we don't know if they're from Australia or from the UK.
Yeah.
Or from North America. So
yeah, I guess in the West those sounds kind of blend together. One person I can name drop and I'm a big fan of is Flume. And I had the pleasure of seeing Flume live, and you know, seeing that, I feel like though with electronica, you guys have a very different touch to it in terms of it seems very personal. It sounds very like specific to different regions that you celebrate. And in the West, though, with electronica, I've noticed that the sounds kind of blend together. So there's not that intricacy that you guys kind of have. How has keeping it personal or keeping it specific to South Asia in terms of the sounds that you use has allowed you to celebrate the kind of music that, you know, India produces?
So the point was, basically, when we started, the purpose was to save the roots, save the Indian culture, get close to it. A lot of our generation is getting they want to restore things, art, music. So also we are listening to a lot of genres worldwide helped us how we can blend both the elements in such a way. So it matches everyone. It matches the youth. It matches the international audience. Yeah. So we try, our aim is that.
So when we started making music, we made it because we couldn't hear those sounds anywhere else. Like it was something that we were missing and our ears were craving it. So we started making music, and it wasn't really like, at that point of time, I think we started making music 10 years ago. And when we started making it, it wasn't really accepted or maybe followed that strongly. But we still made it nonetheless. And we kept it in a, like a hard drive for many, many years. And then when the time came, we released them all at once. And like at that time, it became like one of the best genres that were followed by everybody because it gave people peace and comfort and it was like therapeutic. While it still reminded you of the old vintage South Asian sound that we grew up with. So there was always something in the back of your mind when you're a South Indian or like somebody that comes from that descent that when you hear that sound, it's gonna send some waves in your body and you're gonna have goosebumps and it's something you can't explain and, you know, it just happens.
Yeah, the feeling is nostalgic.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the first kind of feeling I get when I listen to your music. And the way that it's being celebrated, I mean, look at how Dilbar went so viral around the world. And there's this like massive appreciation for the way you've been able to blend the traditional kind of vocals that you had with the Punjabi there with the kind of beats that you had, the really upbeat and really funky vibe that you created. I mean, well done. Congratulations for how far it spread and how wide it was able to connect with people.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So Dilbar has a very very long story. There's another duo, and Trusha and Blizza, I'm sure you've heard of them.
Yeah.
So they used to make the same kind of electronic South Asian music at the same time we started. So it was like a connection between us both. And like we were both working on the same song, but in a different way. That's why you see two different songs coming together in that song and it creating some kind of that's the result you got from it. So like they're also one of the best, I would say, producers out there. And that song was just made like there was no planning behind it. It just happened and we didn't expect the song to become so big.
That's so interesting to think about because it's so harmonious in the way that it brings together those two sounds. And I mean, that's where people are kind of being able to unite is the fact that you have two different sounds coming together. It's like two different identities or two different cultures that many people resonate with or identify with. And that's, I think that's where the, you know, that nostalgia factor comes in as well, but also the idea that you're feeding people something new. I have to ask though, with a hit going this viral, have you had to consider how new music you produce, you know, has that same impact?
So when you're making music, we made over 90 tracks. So we never, each song would sound very different from the next song. It's because we never stuck to one formula or one way of making a song. It just happened. Whatever we felt, we just expressed. Like Rupinder and I, we just, we used to just express ourselves. And if the song was good enough, we would finish it and put it out there. And we did the same after Dilbar as well. We didn't stick to that one kind of way of making music. It's just that we just started making music. And what we felt we needed to do at that time, we just did it. It's like that.
Yeah,
but the intent for making every track was absolutely same. It was like, it is our best track. Every track that we make, it's the best track.
That kind of mindset, having the idea that this is just going to be the best that we produce is what pushes it forward.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. You have to. You have to do that. Otherwise, why are you making the music?
Fair enough.
And the love behind every track is same. So it's Dilbar's luck that it got viral, but there's no formula around it.
I would love to talk about your journey together as a duo. You both were independent artists before uniting around 2018 when, especially with Salvaria, like kind of signaling the start of that collaboration. What sparked that shift from working as independent artists to becoming a duo and working creatively, collaboratively?
So way back, Tech and I were different artists. I used to play more EDM. He used to play more, I would say, intelligent electronic music that wasn't so widely spread or commercialized. But the first time we met, we just thought, let's sit down and let's just see what happens in the studio. Like, there's no pressure. Like, so because he liked the kind of music that I was that I liked as well. We had a similar taste when it comes to South Asian music. We both wanted to express our love for South Asian music. And that's why we started making music that combined both worlds, the Western world as well as the South Asian sounds together. So Savaria was like the first track that was appreciated by everyone. Before that, we made about 25 songs that no one even paid attention to. But it's always a journey. So Savaria got picked up by BBC Asian Network And it got played there for about 15 to 20 shows, like podcasts from Bobby Friction back to back. So after that, we thought, like, you know, like, wow, this song, like, we have something going on here. Like, let's not kill it. Like, let's keep going. So after Savaria, we started making more music that was the same kind of theme. And then Nani came, which uses a sitar, like a classical. So Rupinder has a classical Indian music background. Rupinder, do you want to elaborate on that?
So my family, they have lineage from, my Nani is MA in sitar. So I've been around that classical music all my life. And Kedar had an influence. He was from St. Martin. So the influence of listening to music there was quite different.
Yeah, like I was always exposed to all different kinds of music. So I always like had it in the back of my mind. I wanted to combine Indian music with that kind of music together so that we could fuse it and make it something completely not heard of before. And it would just trigger the ears. So yeah, that was the story behind like how we started making music. And there was a point in time where we didn't even want to keep making music because we weren't getting the appreciation. That was before Savaria. But then Savaria became like well-recognized and we thought that let's give it a shot.
Validation, yeah.
Mm. And Savaria was like 5 years before Dilbar.
Yeah.
So another journey started after Savaria, which took another 5 years of making more sounds and then before Dilbar hit.
Well, how cool is it that these different worlds of sounds have come together so beautifully? I think the way that you both speak about your kind of roots in music and then where you are today kind of, it shows a sort of evolution that still goes back to who you are as individuals as well. I would love for you both to walk me through the process of creating such a distinct style of sound. And, you know, what kinds of sounds inspire you and what kind of sounds do you pick up on to create, you know, what's the next track? Talk to me about that process of creating a new song.
So the initial process was when me and Kedar used to listen to a lot of traditional sounds, all folk music. And the purpose was to anything which tickles us, anything which makes us excited. So we'll create something out of that. And now we feel like touring India and collecting all the old, whatever we can collect, all the music which is gonna vanish in some time, all old folk songs, and go personally and record everything, create a bank out of it.
Yeah, the culture in India is so rich. Like if we don't take it now and preserve it and create a different kind of version of it that everyone would love to hear, because the next generation, they need some the music packaged in a very different manner than it was before if you want them to hear it again and again. And like create that kind of like memory. Mm-hmm. So we like Sauda, take Khoyo. These are also really well received songs, and they create an impact. And one is Rajasthani, one is Punjabi. So we're not limited by any language. We have to cover all the cultures and languages and make sure we do justice. Mm-hmm. And you know, we create the best version possible that we would love to hear. And you know, like, I'm sure everyone else would love to hear, like, from the responses we've got. So that was the story behind. And we don't have like a formula, like a step-by-step process. It's just that we sit down and we start making music. And then I send it over to him and he hears it and he's like, okay, this could work. And then he starts working on it. And then we go back and forth for like, or maybe we sit down together and we finalize and finish it. And that's how a song is like properly finished. And then we send it to our engineer, who kind of takes away all the high and low and mid frequencies that are not supposed to be there, and polish it more, and we make it a final product before we put it out there. So it's like a unplanned process, but the ending is planned. You understand what I mean? It's like that. And it's working for us because it doesn't limit us. It doesn't limit him. It doesn't limit me. Like, we do our thing. He doesn't tell me what to make. I don't tell him what to make. We just make our own thing. And that's how like crazy songs are created where you haven't heard them before. So that's the way.
Amazing. It's so amazing to learn about this. And I think, Rupi, you touched on the idea of preservation, especially, you know, for, I guess, India itself to have its own sound kind of banked in these songs, but also for kids like me who grew up outside of India and outside of South Asia who need some sort of soundboard to understand like what their culture sounds like and what their heritage sounds like. So I didn't have that growing up, but it's kind of amazing to think about how an emerging generation, especially for rising artists, can kind of use your music to inspire their tastes and also their personal connection to their motherlands. This is the perfect way to wrap up our conversation, because I'd love to talk about how music is a cultural artifact and it documents the stories and sounds and perspectives of an entire region. So what role do you think South Asian DJs play in the preservation of South Asian culture?
They play a major role. They support a lot of producers by playing their tracks. Some producers don't get out of their rooms also, and the music is always there in their system. So it's a good one. DJs are really helping. And I feel we need to work on not India, the entire Southeast Asia, for preserving these sounds. It's just like a recipe. Somebody's missing the family recipe. You have that different same song sung by different people. So yeah, you need to capture everything. So for the generation to come and polish it in such a way, that was right. Like do it very well, make it sound so sonic and so controlled. So yeah, everybody can listen to it very smoothly.
Oh, I'd like to add something to this. I think over the last 2 or 3 years, the Indian samples and Indian, the Indian rich heritage sound, Indian vocals, Indian songs, Indian folk songs, they've all been used by not just South Asian DJs and producers, but all the DJs and producers around the world. Like you would see so many songs right now that have they're like, you know, expressing the Indian culture and South Asian culture. And I'm very happy to see the growth in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, especially with folk songs and stories that don't usually make it out of their towns and their like their areas are kind of like being used in ways that it pushes those, you know, those perspectives forwards. And like we can see and hear that happening is this like active idea of creating artifacts and creating ways to continue those stories' lives and keeping them aflame. So it's been a pleasure to chat to you both today, especially as preservers of culture. And I hope that the world continues to celebrate the kind of music you're putting out there for not only just South Asians, but anyone who loves electronica. Thank you so much to you both. Thank you, Rupi, and thank you, Kedar.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
For more hot takes from South Asians in Australia, find and follow SBS Spice on Instagram at SBS Spice or on YouTube by searching for SBS South Asian. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button.